How many ready for some Bible power?
Amen.
Amen. I got something tonight that will turn you on. Or off one, I'm not sure. Let's stand. Daniel chapter 5. The book of Daniel chapter 5. My, what a prophet Daniel was. And told us about the times we're living tonight. Daniel was a man of prayer. And people that are people of prayer know things. Amen? Pretenders don't know things, but prayers know things. And I know that the Lord is about to return any moment. Praise God. The 5th chapter, verse 1 through 7. I want to draw your attention very carefully to the last phrase of verse 7. It says, Belshazzar, the king, made a great feast of a thousands of his lords and drank wine before the thousands. This was a party that probably lasted several days. And Belshazzar, at least till God butted in, whilst he tasted the wine and commanded to bring the golden and silver vessels which his father Nebuchadnezzar had taken out of the temple which was in Jerusalem, that the king and his princes, his wives and his concubines, might drink therein. And they brought the golden vessels which were taken out of the temple of the house of God, which was at Jerusalem. And the king and his princes, his wives, his concubines, drank in them. They drank wine and praised the gods of gold and of silver and of brass and of iron and of wood and of stone. And in the same hour came forth fingers of a man's hand and wrote over against the candlestick upon the plaster of the wall of the king's palace. And the king saw the part of the hand that wrote, and then the king's countenance was changed, and his thoughts troubled him, so that the joints of his loins were loosed, and his knees smote one against another. The king cried aloud to bring in the astrologers and the Chaldeans and the soothsayers. And the king spake and said to the wise men of Babylon, whosoever shall read this writing and show me the interpretation thereof shall be clothed with scarlet and have a chain of gold about his neck and shall be the third ruler in the kingdom. Notice that last sentence, and shall be the third ruler in the kingdom. I want to use for a subject tonight, when God gets everyone's attention. You may be seated. When God gets everyone's attention. Belshazzar was the grandson of Nebuchadnezzar. I want to draw your attention to three names, and Brother Allen's going to put them on the wall. Three names that we need to be mindful of. And these three names tell us a lot about the life we're in now. You got them names ready to go? Put them up. I'm waiting on my technician there. The first name is Nebuchadnezzar. That was the king of Babylon that came in and took Israel captive. The next name, Nabonidus. Nabonidus, I think is the way you pronounce it. Nabonidus. Nabonidus is not recorded in the scriptures, but it is mentioned because Nabonidus was actually the king because he was the son of Nebuchadnezzar. And that's why Belshazzar said, I will give you an award, or I'll give you gold and a third of the kingdom. Why? Because there was someone else ahead of Belshazzar. And his name is Nabonidus. That was Belshazzar's daddy. Belshazzar, and pull it up on the wall. We read about him. Belshazzar was a wicked, evil, destructive rioter. He was a godless person. In fact, Nebuchadnezzar, the scripture says after a long ordeal with him, he became a preacher of righteousness. So that made his son, Nabonidus, a PK. Yeah. Nabonidus was a PK. That made Belshazzar a grandson of Nebuchadnezzar. You say, what's that got to do with us today? Everything. Because you need to understand that the whole thing that's happening today is a reflection of what happened then. Belshazzar was the grandson of Nebuchadnezzar. And so Belshazzar wanted to party. Party, party, party. He didn't know the God of his grandfather. But Nabonidus did. But the problem with Nabonidus is he didn't want to be the king. He wanted, of all things, he wanted to go out and do excavation. He wanted to go out and research history of Babylon. He was one that was there to just do the bidding and the research in excavating the land and finding out about the history of Babylon and Israel. And so Nabonidus did not take his role as king. He was a PK, but he didn't take his place to be what he should be. Thus, we had a lost generation. Belshazzar knew not the God of his grandfather. Nabonidus, no doubt, had some fear of God, had some understanding of God, but he wanted to spend his time as an archaeologist, excavating, researching. He was into archaeology. He wanted to spend time about the past, and he had no interest in being the king of Babylon. Three sons. Well, actually, Nebuchadnezzar and two sons. And I want you to notice today something that's very interesting that correlates with our day we live. We are living in a Belshazzar generation. Nabonidus was a lost generation. There was a Nebuchadnezzar generation that though they lived wicked lives and though they were taking land that wasn't theirs, they conquered Israel and they became possessors of Israel, and Babylon became the kingdom. From Babylon, you have the spinoff of the Medes and the Persians, the Greeks, Alexander the Great, and then down to Rome. And so hear me, because it's real important that you understand this. Nebuchadnezzar, though he had a colorful past, a bad past, God put a hook in his jaw and saved his soul. In fact, Nebuchadnezzar went nuts 7 years, ate grass as an ox. He lost his mind until God brought his mind back to him. And I've been praying for several folks in this room to get your mind back. Because you do know I'm teasing, maybe. But anyway, I'm sounding like Shane now, maybe. But there was a Nebuchadnezzar generation that had a touch from God that had a revival, had a contact. God made contact with Nebuchadnezzar, changed his life, and brought righteousness to Babylon, at least in that era that he lived, a preacher of righteousness. And his son, the PK, was to step into his place, but the PK said, wait a minute, I want to get in archaeology. I want to study history. I want to excavate. I want to be an archaeologist. I don't want to be a king. And so he stepped away from that, and in so doing, we lost a generation. Hear me. Oh, I want you to listen carefully, because this message is so rich and there's so much truth in it. As America, we came and stole some land, like Babylon did. We took over a country and we possessed a land. God did great things in our lives. God changed us. We were truly a Nebuchadnezzar generation. For a long time, we knew the graces of God. For a long time, we knew the power of God. But America prospered. And America began to live like Nabonidus in the past. We began to be blessed. We began to have riches. We began to have pleasure. So we began to live in the heritage of our past. And all the time we're doing this, we're busy with pleasures, we become the generation of Nabonidus. There's a generation that all they think about is pleasure, things, property, prosperity. That generation, like the PK of Nebuchadnezzar, that decided that they were going to have nice things, and they were going to, like Nabonidus was an archaeologist that researched the history, and he did things that he wanted to do. He wasn't turned on to the God of Nebuchadnezzar. I don't think Nabonidus was a bad person. I believe he was an extraordinary man. History bears that out. But he got so wrapped up in the things and the history and the prosperity of Babylon and the other countries in which his father Nebuchadnezzar had conquered, that he was so wrapped up in things that he lost sight of the best thing, and that is the God of his father Nebuchadnezzar. No, he wasn't a bad person. He just too busy living his life. And what we have is we had a Nebuchadnezzar generation in America, and then we brought forth children another generation, and that generation says, well, wait a minute, I want to prosper. I want things. I want to, I want to do my thing. I want to, as Nabonidus wanted to be an archaeologist, he wanted to look into history. I want to spend my time, and I want to live off the victories of Nebuchadnezzar. I want to live off the prestige of Nebuchadnezzar, my father. Nabonidus says, I want to live off of the prestige. I want to do archaeology. I want to look back in history, and I want to live off of all the victories that my father had. And in process, he has a boy, and that boy's name is Belshazzar. And Belshazzar turns out to be a little devil. Telling Belshazzar to stand in the corner didn't work. Hello. Belshazzar takes the kingdom because Nabonidus didn't want it. And what we have now is a Belshazzar generation that knows not the God of Nebuchadnezzar, that knows not the God, and they have bypassed and blew past the prestige and the blessings and the things that America has had, they did, Babylon had had, blew past those great, great rich heritage and lived past it, and now we have a generation that doesn't, they don't even have a thank you in them. There's no gratitude in their life. There's no realness in their life. There's no stability in their life. They're like Belshazzar. All they want to do is drink to the gods a pleasure. All they want to do is desecrate the sacred things of God. They want to use Jesus' name in vain. They want to use God's name in vain. If there's a God, we don't know. But if there's a God, we don't care. We want to be our own little kingdom. We want to do our own thing. We want to have our sports and our blessing. And they lost sight. The Belshazzar generation has lost sight of the holiness of God. And today, we see the generation that's like Belshazzar. We are seeing the generation that will shake their fist toward the heavens and curse the God of glory. A lawless generation. A filthy generation. An answer to nobody generation. One world order. Their whole life is wrapped up in digital media and digital things. Their whole life is wrapped up in cards and cars and possessions and gifts and just living their own life. It's a time of party, having a good time. We don't need God. We got a good thing going for us. We don't need that old time religion. We don't need that old time gospel. We don't need that old time preaching of righteousness that Nebuchadnezzar gave. We don't need that old time preaching that they used to have back in the 20s and back in the late 1800s and back in the 1940s and 1950s. We don't need that. We've evolved. We've evolved to a higher place. We'll have our own religion. We'll have our own order. We'll have our own government. We'll have our own way. We will have a worldwide religion and a worldwide government. We will have a world order. We will have, and we'll change the anthem of God Bless America, and we'll change it to if there was no heaven and no hell, and everybody could live. I'm talking about a Beatles song. I don't even remember the name of it, but they would like that to make, they'd like to make that the world national anthem or world anthem. What's the name of that song? Imagine. And that song sounds pretty until you listen to the words. Imagine there's no heaven. Imagine there's no God. Imagine everybody being in unity and everybody having peace and everybody having, and it's a mystical desire of a godless mind and a godless generation. How many know God is not going to let that go past? How many will God will get the attention of everybody? By the way, God is at this hour getting the attention of everyone. We are living in the generation that God is finally getting everyone's attention. Amen. Belshazzar. Don't matter. We'll go get the vessels, the sacred vessels of the temple that my grandfather Nebuchadnezzar took out of the temple in Jerusalem. We'll get together, call the thousands of lords and wives and concubines and all of our friends, and we'll get together and have a party for a days, probably months, a long party. We'll have a good time. And God says, your good time is just about come to an end. And in the middle of their drinking, in the middle of their rivalry, in the middle of their intoxication, drinking, giving praise to the gods of gold, silver, wood, and all the other false gods, drinking wine out of the sacred vessels of God Almighty, and mocking and chanting that the other gods were real and the true and living God, the God of Israel, does not exist. And they were so full of their drunken debauchery and their wickedness that God says, that's enough. And God stuck his hand through the plaster of the palace. Begin to write. Meanie, meanie, tickle, you farson. And he writes against the plaster of the wall. And I want you to know the handwriting is on the wall tonight. I said the handwriting is on the wall tonight. How many would agree the handwriting is on the wall tonight? We have a generation of Belshazzars that thinks they can mock the God of heaven. But let me know, sin goes sour. Sin always goes sour. Are you listening to me? Sin always goes sour. I'm for peaceful demonstration, but I'm against destroying and hurting life and property in the name of demonstration, or in the name of coming to us peacefully assembling together. When they steal and burn things down and hurt people and stop traffic, that's not peaceful assembling. That is rioting. Hello? But see, we got a godless generation. We got a Belshazzar generation. Knows not the God of our great-grandfathers. We had a Belshazzar generation that knows not the miracle power of God and the blessing of God and the holiness of God, all because the generation before them was too busy enjoying pleasure to teach their children discipline. Too busy laying out of church, too busy making blessing, too busy out there doing our excavation, too busy doing our archaeology, too busy. We didn't want to be involved in that. We don't want to go to church. We don't want to do that. And what we do is it channels down from the PK down to the grandchild, and the grandchild turns out being nothing but a Belshazzar. Come on now. Sin always goes sour. I guarantee you, in these riots, there'll be someone ran over. There already has been. Ran over by automobiles. There'll be someone shot. Already happened. Property has been destroyed. Business has been destroyed. Tearing down the statues that Nabonidus enjoyed the history. Come on. Tear down our past because we're too busy drinking our swill and living like Belshazzars. And so no matter what you do, you stop traffic, you can get run over. You try to burn a car, a police car, or whatever, you're going to get burned. Innocent people get hurt, and people that's not innocent get hurt. We want to defund the police, get rid of the police. The only time I want the police defunded is when I'm going too fast on Selma Road. And I want them to be on vacation. Amen? If I dial 911, I don't want it to come back over the phone and say, I'm sorry, all the policemen have been laid off for the weekend. I don't want to hear that. Amen? Come on. You bust a window out of a police car. Think it's okay? Belshazzars are breaking windows out of cars. Belshazzars are tearing down people's buildings. Belshazzars are putting buildings to burn and bringing destruction and rioting across the land of America. And it's not about skin color. It's about a bunch of devils that want to tear stuff up. Let me say that again. It's not about skin color. It's about people that wants to be the devils they are. Destroy. Rebel to do their thing. I said it before. Slavery is not about skin color, because the Jews were among the first slaves. Pharaoh had Jews as his slave in Egypt. Let's go knock the pyramids down. Come on, it's not about skin color. It's about a wicked man's heart trying to control another man. It's about wicked people trying to control and lord over somebody else. That's what it's about. It's about money. It's about greed. It's about hostility. It's about egotism and hate and it's not about color. It's about men that are wicked that want to control children, control women, control different color skin, control different religions. It's about people that want to lord over somebody else. That's what it's all about. Amen. Hello. You've got the group called Black Lives Matter. If Black Lives Matter group was a good, just, and honest group of people, I'd be 100% behind them. But they're not. They're vicious. That's not their desire. Black lives do matter. Red lives matter. White lives matter. Preachers' lives matter. Hello, preachers' lives matter. All lives matter. But see, it's not about that. It's about being able to tear things up. Because the demons in these Belshazzars want to tear things up. And sin always goes sour. Somebody's going to get run over. Somebody's going to get burned. Somebody's going to go to jail. Somebody's going to have problems. And let me say it right now. And if you don't like what I'm about to say, that's stick around. You'll have opportunity other times as well. As bad as this flu is, as bad as this COVID-19 is, as bad as this coronavirus is, I have no doubt many people have died horrendous deaths. I have no doubt it is infectious. I have no doubt it is real. It's horrific. It's terrible. It's caused people to lose their life. I detest this sickness and this virus, but I want you to know it's more about politics than it is a virus. Amen. They want to take our cash in our pocket and go to a cashless society. They want to take our rights and say everything belongs to the government. They want to tell us when we can sing or not sing in California. All in the name of health. All in the name of this is good for you. And Hitler says to the Jews, get on the train. This is best for you. We're going to take you somewhere where you're going to feel no hurt. You're going to be at peace. What he didn't tell him, he talked him into getting on the train and took him to gas chambers and killed him by the millions. Hello? They want to take our guns. They want to take our rights. Who are they? Those that want to enslave and destroy people's lives because of their power trip. And all the time, there's a bunch of little Belshazzars out there running around. All they want to do is party, party, party. And they're just pawns in the hands of a bunch of wicked politicians. Hello? Listen. Nebuchadnezzar, preacher of righteousness, Nabonidus, the son of Nebuchadnezzar, that wanted to be an archaeologist, that was, Belshazzar, that wanted to party. If that isn't where we're at today, I don't know where we are. That's where we're at today. People want to party, they want to have their way. All the time the government wants you to be a number. You know, I'd read the book of Revelation 30 years ago and I'd say, that can't be right. It's got to mean something else. But now that I read the book of Revelation, they have to have a mark in their hand or their forehead. And even now while I'm speaking, they're putting chips in people's hands. And those chips allow them to buy or sell. Places, I love pizza. I love pizza. It loves me. It attaches to the walls of my belly. Pizza loves me. I love pizza. Now, I don't know whether it's nationwide, but there was a pizza place that said we take only credit cards, debit cards, no more cash. Well, that's going to be a regular thing. Once they get us all submissive, wear our mask, 6 feet apart, listen to the rulers, obey, then we're like sheep led to the slaughter. You don't have to give me a 6 foot rule. If Jerry come in here snotting, slinging, sneezing, and snotting like a Brahma bull, you don't have to give me a 6 foot rule. Jerry, you don't have to give me a 6 foot rule. I'm going to do this. Amen? You don't have to give me a mask. If Don comes in here and he's snot going everywhere like a Brahma bull and he's sneezing and his eyes are red and itchy and he I'm going to back up. I'm going to give him more than 6 feet. Does he need a mask? He can use his elbow. Something. Come on now. You know, it struck me odd that the President of the United States would have to say to everybody, wash your hands. Really? Really? The leader of the free world has to tell us, wash your hands? Really? Amen? I get my hands in goo. I'm going to wash my hands. I don't want to get sick, but I don't want to be submissive to the point where I can't even do anything without permission from someone that really doesn't care about me. They care more about the money they make through taxes and care more about the power to control people's lives. Amen? Today they want to tear down Barney Fife statue. Yeah, Barney Fife. Want to tear down the statue. I got some bad news. They want to take his bullet too. And his gun. Bad news. We're going to take John Wayne off the air because he isn't fitting the narrative. Well, I don't know about you. I'm a Christian and the Duke didn't have good language sometimes, but I like the Duke. You say, well, I don't. Well, I'm sure there's some other things you like. Amen? I think I Love Lucy's pretty cool, too. And Jed Clampett, Beverly Hillbillies, they want to take his shotgun. You say, preacher, you listen to that old stuff. The Lone Ranger. Come on, give me a break. You want to tear the Ranger statue down? All in the name. Yeah, well, what they do, they want to have a revolution. They want to change America from what it is now to something else. That's all they want to do. And I want to stand up as a pastor of this church and tell you, don't you be bamboozled about this stuff. Sin is awful. Sin is wicked. And it's getting exposed. The more we look at this, the more good Christian people are going to say, wait a minute, this is all wrong. Amen? Hello? I don't know. And some of you throw dirt in the air and get all upset and say, preacher, I can't believe you're about to say what you're saying. I can't believe you said what you just said. I don't know whether Trump's going to win the election or not. The truth is, America is going to hell in a handbasket if we don't get a grip on things and use some common sense and bow our knee to Jesus Christ. This thing's going to fall apart no matter who president is. People start acting the way they're acting. Belshazzar generation. I should have named this the Belshazzar generation. Knows not the God of his grandfather. And let his dad go out of Nabonidus and go out and archaeologists spend his time in possessions. But then God, when they're drinking and they're praising the gods of silver, gold, and all that when they're drinking. God puts his fist to the wall. And he writes, "Meeny, meeny, tickle you, Farson." And it terrified Belshazzar. And I want you to know, this bunch burning police cars, this bunch burning down businesses, this bunch tearing statues down, this bunch cursing, this bunch living in sin, this bunch tearing things up because they just want to tear things up, this Belshazzar bunch, God has wrote the writing on the wall. God is going to drive his fist to the plaster of this thing, and God is going to write, "I've had enough." I'm serious. And it terrified Belshazzar. Literally terrified Belshazzar. And it terrified him so bad he got his soothsayers and his fortune tellers and his wise men, Chaldeans, to come and interpret what was written, "Meeny, meeny, tikri, you farson," because the words were fearful. But the warnings, I said today, tonight, the warnings are getting real and dreadful. If you think this is just going to blow over, you're wrong. We're in the middle of something that's airborne, and it's got to be stopped. If you think we're just in something that we're just going through a phase, you're wrong. This has been brewing and kindling for many, many years. And I don't know. The Lord may come before I get done preaching. The Lord may come before we meet Easter in July. The church may be raptured out before the election. But I'll tell you this, if the church isn't given an exodus out of here, we're dead gonna sure need one after the election. And I'm not talking about who wins or who doesn't win. I'm talking about this thing is like a train off the track at a speeding bullet, and there's nothing gonna stop it except God. We need to occupy until the Lord comes. We need to be prayerful. We need to do what we should do and occupy till the Lord comes. If the Lord doesn't come before election time, we're going to see. I'm going to venture to say the next 4 months is going to be hellish. And if the next 4 months isn't hellish, I guarantee you the following 4 months after election is going to be even worse. Because we have a generation out there that doesn't know God, doesn't care for God, hates anything about God. All they care about is their sin, their pleasure, their debauchery. All they want to do is live their life, do their thing, and they want to overturn any type of authority. And they want to butt heads with anything. And I just want to say to some people in this room, if you're a young person, maybe the Lord won't come back for a few more years. As a young person, you need to step to the plate and tell God you're ready to do anything He wants you to do. If you're a teenager and the Lord doesn't come in the next few months, or the Lord doesn't come in the next few years, if you are a child, maybe you're just coming up to teenage years, and you're a young person, you need to take my place. You need to stand in my stead. I'm not going to be here forever. You need to take place with God. You need to listen to the God of Nebuchadnezzar, the God of Joseph. Did you know that when Joseph was taken down into Egypt, and there was a Pharaoh that loved Joseph, and Pharaoh took Jacob down into Egypt, after Jacob died and then another Pharaoh rose up, it said that Pharaoh knew not Joseph. And we have a Belshazzar generation that knows not Jesus Christ. And if you're a teenager in this room or a young person in this room, you listen to me. If the Lord doesn't come very soon, and He could come any moment, But if he doesn't come very soon, we need some people that's got some grit, some people that's got some faith, some people that's got some faithfulness, some people that's got some courage, some people that's got some true love of God in their heart. We need some people that have stepped to the plate, stepped to the front, stepped to the altar and say, God, as for me and my house, as for me and my friends, we are going to serve the Lord no matter what the devil brings this way, no matter what hellish things happen, whether it's a revolution or something turning this America plumb into socialism and some other form of government, no matter what happens, we are going to stand for Jesus Christ. Will be the Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego's. We will not bow and we will not burn. We'll be, listen to me, you need to step forward. You are the Lazarus generation. If you're a young person, God's calling Lazarus out of the tomb. You are the Lazarus generation. Get out from among them rioters. Pull yourself out from those looters and those devastating people that are destroying and destructive and finding racism, bitterness. Get out from among them. Be separate and stand and salute your God and praise Jesus Christ and come to the plate and come to the forefront and say, I will not conform to this wicked world. I am going to serve Jesus Christ. You know why you were born for this hour? Because there's something that God wants you to do in this hour. You're not here by accident. You're not sitting in this auditorium hearing this preacher rant and rave by accident. You didn't come here tonight and hear me talk about the Nebuchadnezzar generation and then the Nabonidus generation that was more caught up in the things of the world and the history and the things of the past. And now there's this Belshazzar generation that all they care about is drinking and mocking God and hating God and doing things of their own pleasure. You're better than that. You're here because God put you here. Some of you young people have ability to sing. Some of you young people have ability to intercede in prayer. Some of you young people know your Bible and know God. And you know God needs someone working for Him. I call every person, young, old, middle-aged, teenager, child, old person, young person, man and woman, no matter who you are, I call you to stand up. Stand up for truth and honesty and holiness and purity. Know the God of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Worship your God. Serve your God. And say, I will not conform to a bunch of wicked people that want to tell me where I can go and what I can do. My God, they're not my Lord. Jesus is my Lord. And what He says, I will obey. I am not going to conform. But I'm going to be transformed. Amen? You know, I wouldn't have believed it, but I heard it on a reputable news station, and I'm not talking about television news, but I heard it. They actually did say that churches in California were not to recite openly scriptures or sing aloud because of the spreading of the virus. Boy, we ought to we're not in California. I'd almost move there just to have my way. I'd almost fly into one of them churches just so I could rear back without a mask and let her fly. And as I'm singing praises to God, they can see my tonsils for 2 blocks away. Hello. Nobody. I don't care who it is. Nobody. Not the governor, not the president of the United States, not a senator, not a House of Representatives, not even a preacher, not a deacon, and not a layman in the church, not anybody, has the right to stand in front of God's people and give them orders not to sing, not to speak openly about their faith in Jesus Christ. Nobody has a right to do that. They're not my Lord. Jesus is my Lord. Amen. And if I'm snotting like a Brahma bull and sneezing and my eyes are itchy and I'm watering and I'm coughing, then you just back off about 16 foot and sing anyway. It ain't like I'm asking you to drink out of my communion cup. Amen. BJ at his church down in Tucson. By the way, they have a order to wear a mask if you go out in public. It's a $500 fine if you get caught without one. In Tucson, they, in all of Arizona, they have an 8 o'clock curfew. I'm sorry, folks, it's past 8. 8 o'clock curfew. BJ has a church where they put a communion fruit of the vine on one side of the church, another one on the other side of the church. They have one down in front, and they have a couple in the back. And then people can get up during worship time and they can go over and they can pinch a piece of unleavened bread off with their fingers and stick it down in the cup of fruit juice and then eat it for communion. They sop it, eat it. Well, you know, I'd say that's a no-no. But what's really funny is a guy come in as a homeless guy and he comes staggering into the church. He saw that cup of juice and that loaf of bread. And he went over there and got that bread and just pinched it out, big finger foot. I mean, he hadn't had a bath for a while. And after he ate that bread, I mean, he's having communion. He grabs the cup and he just drinks it like this. And B tells that and just laughs. Well, you know, I don't recommend that. Hello? But I will say, there's good old common sense. Amen? Since when do I need the President of the United States to teach me common sense? Hello? And I know he means well, but quit treating us like a bunch of children. We know how to act. We know how to live. Don't treat us like a bunch of two-year-olds in a Walmart. If you really want to do something, go out and find these people setting police cars on fire, breaking windows out, and beating people up in the name of racism, trying to do their thing. If you really want to do something, pick them rascals up, throw them in the slammer, and keep them in jail about 20 years. But leave us alone. Amen. I went past 8 o'clock. Curfew's over in Arizona, but you're not in Arizona. You're in Ozark, Missouri. Amen. Josh's going to come and bring a song. Everybody say with me, Nebuchadnezzar, Nabonidus, and Belshazzar. Which one are you going to be? I'm going to be a preacher of righteousness. I'm going to be like Nebuchadnezzar. I'm not going to be a Nabonidus out doing archaeology and doing my thing. I wanted to do my thing. There's a battery low. We get the drum going when it's going. That mic is beating its war drum. Shut up, preacher. It's time to quit. Belshazzar mic. Belshazzar mic. Yeah, Belshazzar mic. But Belshazzar, we live in a generation of Belshazzars. And the reason we have them is because the generation of the PKs that knew the God of their fathers have been too busy in pleasure and making money and doing their thing. And they've lost sight of taking their children to church. And because of that, they have created a bunch of Belshazzars. Isn't that good? You got to admit that's a good truth. You got to admit, wow, that's there. A lost generation. A lost generation caused us to end up with a Belshazzar generation. serve our Lord. Altar's open. Maybe you young people, maybe you teenagers, maybe you young people would want to come to this altar and say tonight, not to me, not to me. Maybe you'd like to come to this altar and say tonight, God, here I am. I'm at your service. Whatever you want, I will do. Surrender your life to God completely. Altar's open.